That was pretty good. That caught me off guard, no doubt. That caught me off guard. I was like, what are they playing? Son of a preacher, man. All right. Who's that? Was that your idea? No, whose idea was that? All right. What y'all doing back there? All right, well, good morning. Good morning. If this is your first time here, my name's Jeff Bearden, and I fill in for Jim on occasion. Him and Angie are camping, and he told me, he said, well, I learned something. He said, you don't try to get a camping spot in a state park in Georgia in the fall at the last minute. So there is some little campground in Cave Springs. But that's all right. They still taking a break. Well-deserved break. Once again, I'm honored and humbled to stand before you today. And I just want to jump right in this morning, because I've been sitting on this for a couple of weeks now. And I'm pretty fired up about it. As a matter of fact, I was up here adjusting a different music stand, and I ripped the top off of it. So we had to find another one. All right. So this message today is called The Warrior's Cause, Fighting the Good Fight. And it's dedicated to the men in the room. Men, this message is for you. And I want to speak into your life today. But now listen, ladies, don't tune me out, because I got some things to say to you too. You're warriors too, but I want to address the men directly. And we're going to talk about fighting today. Not just fighting like a man, but fighting like men of God. Because listen, I believe that in every single one of your lives, there are certain battles that you must fight and you must win, and you must win them decisively. And listen to me. Maybe it's a little controversial that I use the word fight or fighting. You might be thinking that that's kind of a violent theme. So in case it's not controversial enough for you yet, let me go ahead and make sure it is and tell you this story. When our boys were small, they were down the street a few houses down, and they were playing with another little boy in his backyard. And this little boy was somewhere between the ages of ours. And it was well known in the neighborhood that this little boy didn't play well with others. Y'all know the kid I'm talking about. All right. But we had taught our boys to stand up for themselves and to stand up for the others and to stand up for what's right. And I told them, I said, if you're ever out playing together and one of y'all gets in a fight and your brother don't take up for you and you get home, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So they had been down the street playing, and me and Missy were getting ready for supper or something. I don't remember exactly. And they come rushing in the door, and Michael, the oldest one, he's a little frazzled, and he says, Daddy, he says, that boy kept pushing Taylor down, and I told him to stop, and he wouldn't, and he tried again, and I grabbed him, and he took a swing at me. He said, and so I swung back, and I clocked him right in the face. And I said, it's okay, buddy. I said, you did the right thing. You took up for your brother, and I'm proud of you. Now, we knew that in a matter of minutes that either the phone was going to ring or there was going to be a knock on the door. Well, the phone did ring, but it wasn't who we expected. It was the lady that lived in the house next door to the house they were playing at, and she said, I just want you to know that I saw the whole thing, and Michael was completely justified in what he did. Then came the knock on the door, and that's a whole other story, right? Now, I don't know if that was the right thing to do. I mean, you can question my parenting skills if you want to. But those boys are now 30 and 26, and they have spent their entire adult life in service to a cause greater than themselves, and they have and will fight to free the oppressed. Because you see, we as a family believe that for a man, there's a time when you have to stand up for what's right. You have to learn to stand up for yourself and for others. Listen, if you don't learn to stand up for yourself, you'll never stand up for others. You'll probably never stand up for a woman. You'll probably never stand up for the oppressed. You'll probably never stand up for those who are weak and can't stand up for themselves. And you may just not stand up for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is actually a time, I believe, for us as followers of Christ that we have to draw that bloodline and take a stand and say that it goes no further than this. Right here, right now, it stops with me. Amen? And listen, man, as a matter of fact, you know what? Men, if you would please go ahead and stand up, because I got something to say to you for just a second. I got a word for you, and I want you to receive it on your feet like a man. Here's what I believe. Men, I believe with all of my heart that God has created you with the heart of a warrior. He has created you with the heart of a warrior. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as you take your seats, I hope you're man enough to be teachable today, because that was the first blanks you need to fill in on your notes there. God created you with the heart of a warrior. In fact, He created you in His image. God is many things, and there are numerous and powerful metaphors in the Bible about His character and His nature, and one of them happens to be a warrior. Look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3. The Lord, it says what? The Lord is a what?
Warrior.
He is a warrior. Come on, man, you can do better than that. The Lord is a what?
Warrior.
The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Listen, I believe that hardwired into the heart of every man, divinely written into our DNA, is a deep desire to fight for what is right, to protect and provide, to stand up for what's true, for what is pure, and what is just. And listen, I know what you're thinking. Most of y'all know me pretty well. You know my background. You're thinking, Jeff, you're a really intense guy and all that kind of stuff. But you know, us Christians, we're supposed to be full of love and tenderness and mercy and grace. And that is absolutely, completely, unquestionably true. Jesus was full of love. He was full of mercy. He was full of grace. He was hanging around with little kids. And He had lambs on His shoulders. And that's all true. But it's also incomplete. You see, I believe at the same time, while Jesus was the most loving person that ever lived, He was also the greatest warrior that ever lived. There was no question that Jesus was willing to stand up for what is right. Jesus is God in the flesh, and one of His characteristics, although He's full of love and grace, He is also a fierce warrior. In fact, in Matthew 10:34, Jesus said of Himself, He said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? But a sword." He came with the heart of a warrior. And listen, whether it was that time that He went in the temple, and they had turned the temple into a den of thieves, and they had turned it into a place of profit, and He took some time. It took some time to make that whip. All right? So He went in there with the heart of a warrior. He went in there with the intentions of changing some things and standing up for what's right, and He's slinging that whip, and He's kicking over tables because that was the right thing to do. Now, y'all remember back in the 90s, we all had them bracelets that said WWJD? So when we say, what would Jesus do, we have to consider the fact that kicking over tables and slinging a whip is in the realm of those possibilities. Amen?
Amen.
I like the time. I like the story about when Jesus went to His hometown and He was teaching in the temple, and the people in His hometown, the mob of people got mad at Him. It was a big group, and they decided to kill Him, and they drove Him off out to the edge of the cliff, and they were going to push Him off. And the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of details there. It just says that He turned. And when He turned, the crowd parted. I don't know exactly why, but I would like to think that He turned around and He had that look in His eye like, y'all know the look I'm talking about. Y'all have seen it. He turned around like, y'all don't want none of this. Not today. I mean, He was a carpenter. Maybe He just kind of, I don't know. Maybe there was a big angel behind Him. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But He turned around and the crowd parted. We don't know exactly why that is. Listen, Jesus, the greatest warrior who ever lived, shed His blood on the cross. And for 3 days and nights, He did spiritual battle that we may never understand. He went and did battle against every force of wickedness, the devil, every demon in hell. He took on death, hell, sin, and the grave. And He won the most important battle in the history of the world. He defeated all the forces of darkness. The stone rolled away, and He walked out risen, King of kings and Lord of lords, the fiercest warrior who ever lived. And listen, when He comes back, let me tell you, He ain't coming on that little donkey. He's coming back on a white horse, and He is fierce. Look at John's vision in Revelation 19:11. Listen, He ain't talking about some little homeschooled Galilean boy, but He said this. He said, "I saw heaven standing open." He said, "And there before me was a white horse whose rider, Jesus, is faithful and true. With justice He judges." And He does what? He wages war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on His head are many crowns. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and His name is the Word of God. Coming out of His mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. And listen, somebody better get ready to clap or shout or something, because it says, and on His robe and on His thigh, He has the name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's my Savior, and that's your Savior. One who is He is simultaneously full of grace and full of truth and full of love and full of justice. And He's ready to turn a cheek, but He's willing also to step out and stand up for what is right. The greatest servant who ever lived, and at the same time, the greatest warrior who ever lived. So man, here's the big question I have for you today. Where have all the warriors gone? Where have all the men of God gone? And listen, apparently this has been a challenge throughout history, that oftentimes the men who should stand up and fight for what is right are out playing little boys' games or something else. In fact, in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, we see a tragic verse here when God made this statement. Y'all help me out with this. God said, I looked for a what? Said, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. I looked for this type of man, but what did God find? None. Scripture says He found none. I just needed one, just one who would stand in the gap, who would fight, defend, live righteously, and I found none. So the question is, where have all those men gone? Now listen. I started to save this message for the fort. But if I had of, I would only be speaking to about 30 or 40 men. See, when we first started, we had well over 100 men for several months. So the question is, where have all the men gone? Where have all the men gone? Now listen, I get it. You got to work. You have other responsibilities. You can't make it every time. I'm not going to be here this Tuesday myself. I'll be sitting in an airport on my way back home. But listen, at the same time, I've heard some men say, well, you know, I really don't need the fours. They don't talk about stuff that affects me. Yeah, I guess you got it all figured out, and God bless you if you do. But listen, even if you do, maybe another man needs to know what you know. Listen to me. There is something powerful about men being in the company of other good men. And if you don't think you need that, then the enemy of your soul has got you right where he wants you. And listen, it's not about you anyway. It's about the man to your left and right. And listen, I know we don't have a big fancy program for the fours, but we're looking to change some things and we're going to do some things different. We're going to have a barbecue and stuff like that. But let me tell you what it's not going to be. It is not going to be just a social club where all we do is recreational activities. The mission of the Forge of North Point Church is to create an environment that allows the Holy Spirit of God to forge godly character in men, to create men of purpose, men of integrity, men of commitment, men of service, and men of influence. The Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So men, I challenge you, don't stand alone. Come alongside the rest of us, and let's lock shields together in the fight. Amen? Where have all the really strong men of God gone? Now, we might say that culture or society is trying to turn men into women. We might say that. But we could also say that the problem might lie in the church as a whole itself. There are studies done. There are a few hundred years of the history of the feminization of Christianity. If you don't believe me, look it up. Because see, maybe we just think of the Christian man as just a nice guy. He's safe and he's nice. And yet when we look at Scripture, we see that the man of God is much more than a nice guy. Maybe the church itself has tried to turn men into women. And listen, studies show that men don't make good women. Maybe some women are trying to turn men into women. And listen, ladies, I hope that's not you. I hope that you're not trying to turn your man, or God forbid, your sons into a woman. Because listen to me, if you steal a man's right to occasionally fight back for the right reason, the right cause at the right time, you emasculate him. And you take him and you turn him into something that he was not created to be, because deep down within, a man was given the desire and craves the right to stand up and fight for that which is true. Listen to me, ladies. You need to embrace the man that God created your man to be. And let me tell you what might just happen when you do that. Something in him might just rise up. It might just rise up when he feels empowered by the woman who knows him best to be the man that God created him to be. He might just take on a deeper servant role. He might just exceed every expectation that you ever had of Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, ladies. For too long, men have been told what they're not doing and what they shouldn't be doing. Listen. Don't tell him what he's not. Tell him what he can be and build him up as one who can fight and stand for what is right. Amen? Yeah. Listen. Guys, I'm not telling you that you got to be some kind of pumped up bully with an overinflated ego. That's not the message. But I believe deep down, hardwired in your soul, divinely written into your DNA by God, it is a desire to fight for something bigger than yourself. And let me give you two principles today that every warrior's got to know. Here's the first one. Every warrior has a cause to fight for. Every warrior has a cause to fight for. Listen, there is something that happens when we are called to something greater than ourselves. I love the way Nehemiah put it in the Old Testament. He had a cause to fight for. The walls of the city were broken down, and the people of God were vulnerable. And Nehemiah said, you know what? Somebody's got to do something about this. And he rallied the other men around him. And listen how he inspired them. He called them together, and he said in Nehemiah 4:14, the rally cry, he said, don't be afraid of them, our enemies. He said, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And here's what he said to do. He said, fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Fight for something bigger than yourself. And listen, I can guarantee you there was something in those men that stirred and came to life. And they said, yes, I'll fight for those I love. I'll fight for our city. I'll fight for my children. I'll fight for my home. It's kind of like the difference in movies. It's two kind of movies. There's chick flicks and there's movies, right? That's the way it is. Listen, I'm not against chick flicks. I've watched my share. There's some of them I even like. I am a hopeless romantic. But listen, there's something about Braveheart. There's something about Gladiator, King Arthur. There's something about those movies. Makes me want to worship God in heaven. All right, because listen, there's something about Mel Gibson with his face painted blue and he's riding on that horse back and forth and he's saying, how many of you would trade all these days for just one day to come back and tell our enemies? They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. And I'm sitting there going, man, if I'd have been born in that time, I'd have painted my face blue, I'd have had my kilt on, I'd have had my shield and my claymore sword, and I'd have fought my brains out. Why is that? Because there's something inside of us as men that says there's a cause for you to fight for. And men, you know it's true. And listen to me. Until you find the cause for which you're willing to die, you will never truly live. Listen, gentlemen, you know it. You get bored. Internally, you're craving something more than just living for yourself and the things of this world, and you're craving something more, and until you find that cause for which you're willing to die, you'll never truly live, because every warrior has a cause to fight for. God gave you the heart of a warrior, and you've got a cause to fight for. But here's the other piece of this. Here's my next point. A warrior without a cause to fight for, we'll find the wrong thing to fight against. A warrior without a cause to fight for will find the wrong thing to fight against. Listen, in fact, in verse 3 of Acts chapter 8, we see Saul, who was later called by God to fight for the church, but he didn't have that understanding yet, so he fought to destroy the church. And verse 3 says that Saul began to do just that, to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. You see, sometimes a man's strength goes bad and he uses it for all the wrong reasons to hurt people. There is no excuse whatsoever for that in a man. And listen, if you're a man here today and you've let your strength go bad and you're using your God-given strength to hurt people, your wife, your children, whoever, I'm calling you out man to man today. You need to repent on your face before a holy God, because that's not what God Almighty intended your strength for. Amen. Amen? Amen? You need to humble yourself before those that you've hurt and ask for forgiveness. That's not what God intended your strength for. And listen, at the same time, I want to tell you too that strength is not bad. Because listen, when you have been loved and protected by and provided for by strength, there's something righteous about that. There's something righteous about it. And listen, but the problem with us men is if we're not fighting for the right things, there's a fighting spirit within us, and we might just fight for the wrong things. We'll fight against authority. We'll fight against our boss. We'll sometimes even fight ourselves. We'll be mad at ourselves. We'll hate ourselves, and we take it out on our wives and children. We'll even fight against those who are trying to help us sometimes. Because a warrior without the right cause to fight for ends up fighting against the wrong thing. So here's what I would say to you today. Name your cause. Name your cause to fight for. What is it? Now your cause may change over time, depending on the season of your life. An 18-year-old young man of God, a warrior right now, you're going to have a different cause in this season of your life than when you're in your 30s. A 30-something-year-old man is going to have a different cause. A 50-something-year-old man is going to have a different cause to fight for. The 82-year-old man of God, seasoned veteran, is going to have a different cause. But what is your divine cause right now, warrior? Now, I don't know what it would be for you. Some of you better get in a battle and you better fight for your marriage, because if you don't, you're not going to have one. You could just do what a lot of guys do and say, you know what, it got tough and I walked off. You could just do that. Or you can do what a real man of God does, and you can own up to your own sins and apologize and ask for forgiveness. Or you can forgive when you've been wronged. Or you can humble yourself and love your wife as Christ loved the church, and you fight for your marriage. Some of you, it might be for your kids, because while you were out trying to be successful in your career, you may not have been so successful as a dad, and maybe your kids are headed down the wrong road. So maybe you need to stand up and fight for them and bring them back to the place where they should be. Some of you, it may have been financial irresponsibility. You haven't followed God's principles with money, and the boat's sinking, and you better start bailing out. So you know what? I'm going to fight for this. I'm going to start managing my money God's way, and we're going to be givers, and we're going to be free from this debt, and you got to fight for that. Some of you, there may be an addiction that's been taking you down for years. And gentlemen, if you don't fight to overcome it, it'll take you out. You were created with a cause to fight for. Name your cause. Maybe it's something bigger than you. Maybe it's something outside of you. So if you don't know what your cause is, consider Psalms 82, verse 3 and 4. It says, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Those are always good causes. Name your cause, warriors. Name your cause, because without one, you'll be fighting the wrong battle every single time, and you will self-destruct and hurt the people that love you around you. Gentlemen, it's time to fight. It's time to stop being nice guys. It's time to fight. And there's two ways we fight. Here's the first one. Sometimes you got to throw a punch. Sometimes you got to throw a punch. Psalms 144:1 says this, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And listen, here's what I mean by sometimes you got to throw a punch. Sometimes you got to go on the offense. Now, I'm just using this as a metaphor, so don't go throwing a punch at somebody that cuts you off in the parking lot on the way out, all right? What I'm saying is spiritually, emotionally, in some ways, you're going to have to stand up for what's right, and you're going to have to go on the offense and fight. Because that's what you do as a warrior. You go on the offense because, listen, man, it's life and death. It's heaven and hell. It's good and evil. You have a spiritual enemy who hates you, and he's coming after you and everyone that you love. And it's time to fight for him. Sometimes the greatest way we fight as a warrior is on our knees. You fight as a man of God in prayer, and some of you, that's the way you're going to fight today. Some of you might need to throw a punch, and you might need to step in between your children and the wrong crowd. You might need to confront somebody. But I want to say this to you, man. You've got a God-given permission to fight like a man of God. You've got permission to fight, and there may be a time to throw a punch. And listen, I don't think there's a single man in this room that if somebody broke in your house and threaten to harm your loved ones, that you wouldn't do everything you could to protect them and defend them. You might be in your boxer drawers and all you got is the lamp you grabbed off the nightstand, but you'll fight to protect your family. Why is that? because you've got a God-given heart of a warrior. And I'll say this. It's easy to die once. It's easy to give your life one time, but a great man of God dies daily. A great man of God lays his life down daily to serve Christ, to serve his family, to serve his church, to serve the poor, to serve those who are hurting. And every now and then, maybe you just look around and you go, you know what? I've been fighting for myself. I mean, you know, it's all about the weekends. It's all about good beer and football and the lake and fishing and my boat and golf. And you wonder why you feel so empty. It's because you're fighting for something that doesn't matter. And listen, don't you dare waste your God-given strength and will to fight just enjoying life for yourself. Look around at something that bothers you. Find something that gets down in your soul and you think, you know what? I'm not okay with this. Something like, here's this kid and he doesn't have a father and his mom's working three jobs. And you know what? He needs a role model. And it bothers me that he don't have one. And you throw a punch and you do something about it. We're coming up on Christmas. Maybe you know a family and they don't have a whole lot. And maybe you're like, instead of doing something so much for our family, we're going to do something for somebody else. And you throw a punch. And you do something about it. Maybe you look at some cause that just gets down in your soul and you look at it and say, you know what? This isn't right. There's no way God could like this and I don't like it. And you know what? Not on my watch, not while I'm here. And you throw a punch and you're going to stand up for something. Sometimes you throw a punch. But listen, here's the next thing. Sometimes you turn a cheek. Sometimes you throw a punch, and sometimes the strongest thing you can do as a warrior is to turn a cheek. In Matthew 5:39, Jesus said, "If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." Well, I struggled with that one for a long time. But something occurred to me in the last couple of weeks. When you turn the other cheek, what that means is you have to absorb the pain for the sake of someone else. You absorb the pain for the sake of someone else. And listen, that doesn't mean you're weak. That doesn't mean you're weak at all, because it takes strength to absorb the pain for somebody else. And here's the deal. I follow fighting sports. So anybody that follows fighting knows that any fighter, any warrior worth his salt can take a punch and they can absorb the pain and not go down. It's not weak, it's a sign of strength that you can absorb the pain and still stand. Y'all get that? In fact, Jesus got on to Peter when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus knew that he was about to give his life, and the Roman soldiers came to take him away, and y'all know how Peter was, right? He pulls out a sword and he cuts the dude's ear off, not because he was a skilled swordsman, he was going for the dude's head, right? So then Jesus, you know, picks up the ear, and Jesus' power, he heals the ear and puts the sword away, and he says, you know, all right, Peter, we're not doing it this way this time. This isn't that fight. That's not the way we're doing it this time. And then Judas comes up, and what does Jesus do? He lets Judas betray him, and Jesus turns what? He turns the cheek, and he lets Judas kiss him, right? Now, he never says what to do after they strike you twice. I'm just saying, right? But if they strike you once, turn the cheek. So, men, here's what I say to you. Sometimes throwing a punch is not always the best weapon. Our best weapon is always God's love through us. And you may need to learn to fight, not just like a man, because any guy can throw a punch. You may need to learn to fight like a man of God, where you fight with an unconditional love of God that flows through you, simultaneously a warrior and a servant leader who lays down his life daily for those around him. So how do you turn a cheek? Well, sometimes you love with God's love and you say, you know what? I haven't been the man I'm supposed to be to you. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry I haven't been involved in your life. I haven't led you in anything. We're going to go to church. We're going to make a difference. We're going to use our lives for something bigger than ourselves. You may turn the cheek and forgive someone who did something that feels unforgivable to you. Because you're going to you're going to forgive like Christ has forgiven you, and sometimes you got to turn the cheek to do that. And here's the deal, gentlemen. You are only as strong as you are honest. You're only as strong as you are honest. So I'm going to ask you today to be as honest as you can and to very clearly define at this moment, right now, in this season of your life, what is the battle that you must fight and win? What is the fight that you must fight? Some of you, it's going to be for somebody else. Some of you, it's going to be for your marriage. Some of you, it's going to be to get out of financial bondage. Some of you, it's going to be to get free from an addiction to porn or whatever. Some of you, it might be to overcome anger. For some of you, the fight might be for a higher calling, to stand in the gap for someone else's life and say, not on my watch, I'm getting involved and I'm going to make a difference. God said, I looked for a man who would stand in the gap, fight the battle, make a difference, but he found none. If God comes here looking, I believe that he's going to find some men. I believe that he's going to find some warriors. Amen? And I'm closing if the band wants to come. Y'all know who D.L. Moody was? D.L. Moody was one of the greatest evangelists of the last couple of centuries. And he had a friend named Henry Varley, who was a British evangelist. And Henry Varley said to D.L. Moody, he said, the world is yet to see what God can do through one man wholly surrendered unto him. And D.L. Moody thought about that for a minute. And D.L. Moody said, you know what? I'll be that man. I'll be that man. The world is yet to see what God can do through one man wholly surrendered unto him. Gentlemen, you can be that man. God is looking for a man, not just a man, but a man of God that'll stand in the gap and fight for what is right, for what is pure, for what is just, and what is true. And listen, when you fight, sometimes you throw a punch, and sometimes you turn the other cheek. God is looking for a warrior. And gentlemen, you can be that man. What is the battle that you need to fight and win today? Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, right now in this moment that you would empower the men in this room, God. Not to just be men, but to be men of God, to be servant leaders who will stand up for what's right and fight to win the battles that matter most. And God, I pray that you would give us the courage to rise up and do what you've called us to do. God, that we would live for something beyond ourselves. And God, if there's one here today that doesn't know you, God, help them to understand that that's the first battle they need to fight. And God, that they need to submit themselves unto you and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, give us courage that we would sense your divine destiny that you've put in our hearts for a purpose and a calling and a reason for our life way beyond our selfish desires. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.